Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. This is going to be a testimony of sorts. I want you to hear a little bit about how God got me to where I am today. And I want you to kind of just see some things about my life. And honestly, it's not about me, but I believe that it can be an encouragement, a blessing, and a help to you. I hope that's my prayer. And here's what I want you to do. I'm gonna give a lot of information tonight, okay? And I'm gonna tell you a lot of things, and they're honestly not really about James Young, but they're things, they're key moments from my life, key things that happened in my life that I believe got me to where I am today, and enabled me to stand here and be able to preach and be able to go start a church in Jasper. And Brother Ross preached a great message a few weeks ago on how to keep your kids out of the ministry. I'm gonna preach I was already planning and praying on to preach this, and I'm not gonna preach it, but in one sense, it would be like how a young man got into the ministry, okay? And so I just want to give you my testimony of sorts, and let's stand if you're able to, and we'll read this verse, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the message. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I need you, Lord. I can't do it without you. I can't preach without you. I can't even begin to think that I could get up here and say anything worthwhile without the Holy Spirit coming down and meeting with us. I pray that you'd empty me of myself. I pray that you'd clear my mind. I pray that you would just free me of any distractions. I pray that there would be no distractions in the service. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now, each and every person would just be asking you to give them the truth that they need to hear tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to live for you in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oftentimes, we use this verse as a verse of encouragement, right? Or as a verse of comfort, as a verse of hope. We know somebody that's going through a hard time, and you know, we say, hey, you know what? All things work together for good to them that love God. Just hang in there. And you know what? That's a very encouraging and comforting thought, isn't it? That no matter what we're going through, all right, those things are working together for our good. I want to cover something real quick though. A lot of times we misinterpret this verse. Okay, a lot of people misinterpret this verse to mean whatever happens happens, or if it's meant to be, it will be. And those are worldly philosophies. You won't find them in the Bible, and I do not believe that is anything what this passage is talking about. Because Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 and 8 in my Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." All right? So God isn't going to be mocked by the Christian who wants to say, well, all things are working together for my good, and you know, whatever happens in my life happens. No, God expects you to put some work into it. But at the same time, there's a key phrase in this verse here I want to point out. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that. All right, to them that. So as I understand the English language, it means whatever comes before that phrase, the recipients of that are going to be the people at the end of that phrase. All right. For instance, if I said, I'm going to give a $50 bill to them that were in church last Sunday, the only people that would qualify for that $50 bill would be people who were in church last Sunday. Does that make sense? And so the Bible also is a very, it's God's perfect inspired word. That means in the English language, this is God's perfect inspired word. So God didn't make any mistakes. And so he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that, and he gives two things, love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, Christians, how do we love God? Jesus said in John 14, 15, he said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see that we are vessels and God uses clean and available vessels. So you say, Brother Young, I want all things in my life to work together for my good, okay? I've got two questions for you. Do you love God truly? That means you live a life in obedience to his word. And are you answering and fulfilling the purpose for your life? And if you're doing those things, then God can work all things together for your good. Does that make sense? Say amen. And you know what? Listen, folks, I want to give us a couple key statements. I know we're going to take a little bit of time in the introduction here, and then I'm just going to ramrod you through the points in the message, all right? I've got like 30 of them, okay? I'm not kidding either, all right? All right, you're laughing, but I'm not joking, okay? The decisions you make today are either strengthening or weakening your life tomorrow, all right? And here's what, when you're going through something, I don't care what it is, Learn to ask God to accomplish His will in what you are going through. You say, Brother Young, I don't understand what I'm going through in my life right now. Okay, well, run through the checklist. Do I love God? Am I trying to live according to His word? And am I trying to do what He wants me to do? And if you are, then just say, God, I don't know what you're doing in my life right now, but I want you to show me how you're going to get glory through this. I want you to show me how I'm going to get help through this. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12, we see the Apostle Paul, and if you'll flip your Bible to there, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12, we see a great statement from the Apostle Paul, a great truth. And Paul says in verse number 12 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was there before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Do you realize what Paul is saying right here? He's saying, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for putting me into the ministry. And he said, listen, it's all about him. I'm in the ministry because of him. Paul says, listen, I'm in the ministry because of God's grace. I'm a sinner. As a matter of fact, Paul calls himself the chief sinner. He says, I know what a sinner's like because I was the worst one there was. And that's a good attitude to have, Christian. All right? We don't need to view other people as worse than us. We just need to say, you know what? I was the chief sinner and Jesus Christ saved me and I'm a testimony. But I like what Paul continues to say. He goes, now that I've been saved and now that I'm in the ministry, I want to be a pattern for others to follow. And lest you think it's about me, he sums it up with verse number 17. And he says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all glory and power forever. Amen. It's really all about God. It's really all about him. And Paul's, and that's what I want to stand before you today and say, James Young is absolutely nothing special. Anything that I do in my life is really all about him. And you know what I have in my Bible? I have in this Bible, I have a letter from my dad that he wrote to me when he gave me this, and I'm not going to read you all of the letter. But he says, you know what? He says, I'm thankful for your desire to serve the Lord. He says, as you will soon start to do so in new ways, always remember that what we accomplish is really just what we let the Lord do through us. And you know what? Every now and then I just pick that up and I just read it because it reminds me that this isn't about me. It's all about him. And folks, your life should be all about him. But you know what, tonight, I just want to give you some things about my life. And honestly, as I started preparing this message, really, it wasn't anything that I did, but it was things that other people did for me that enabled me, that it, along with God's grace, which is the first and foremost thing, but it put me into the ministry. Now, I want you to think about something. If all things are working together for your good, and you also sow what you reap, then shouldn't you be putting things into your life that will work together for your good? And parents, shouldn't you be putting things, instilling things into your children and your grandchildren that are working together for their good? All right, so that's kind of the thought that I want to portray tonight, and that's why we started with that. And real quickly, I'm going to give you as many things as I can get through, and I may skip over a few depending on where we are at in time, but I want to give you things that I believe enabled me to be in the ministry. And you know what? Number one, here it is. Number one, God was working before I was born. God was working before I was born, and he was working before you were born. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." This is an area you did not have any control over. Use it for God's glory. You say, Brother Young, I grew up in a great home. I was given all the opportunities. And you know what? Honestly, that's what I can say. I grew up in a godly Christian home. I grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church. I grew up with a preacher who kept the pulpit hot. I grew up with Sunday school teachers who loved me and a mom and dad who loved me. And I want to use that heritage that I've been given for God's glory. But if that's not your story, God knew exactly where you were going to be born to, and He wants you to use that for His glory. And by the way, He uses all kinds of people for His glory. There is no one specific set pattern for who God uses. Nobody in the Bible is the same. And they all came from different backgrounds. I love that. I love that Wednesday night series on the faith walkers that we've been going through in church, folks. Do you realize how different those people were? But God took their backgrounds, and before He formed them in the womb, He knew who they were. He knew where they were going to be born into. He knew the circumstances they were going to be born into. And long before they were born, God was working. And I'm thankful God put me where He put me. Number two, God was working before I was born. Number two, I was born, okay? That's pretty obvious. I couldn't stand here if I wasn't born. Hey, folks, you say, Brother Young, that's simple. But folks, we can never back down on our stance for life. I wonder how many preachers, I wonder how many missionaries, I wonder how many godly wives never got the opportunity to fulfill that God's will for their life. Because their life was cut short in the womb. Folks, we can never stop fighting for life. Number three, someone cared enough about me to get me to the gospel. Someone cared enough about me to get me to the gospel. In my case, it was my mom and dad. They were and by the way, moms and dads, you're the primary responsibility is to get your children to the gospel. It's on you. Grandparents, listen, it's part of your responsibility. Let me ask you, who are you responsible to get the gospel to, and are they getting it? Not just your children or your grandchildren or your family members. What about your coworkers? What about the people you see that Pastor Ross will never see? What about the people that you touch that Brother Chad and Brother Young will never touch? Listen, it's not Brother Young. I love my brother, but it's not his responsibility, and it's not Pastor Ross's responsibility to raise your kids for God and to give them the gospel. It's my job to raise Braxton and Cooper and Julia to get the gospel. And you know what, folks? Listen, I'm glad someone cared enough about me to get me to the place where I could hear the gospel and I could hear it over and over and over and over and over again. And there was many times where I sat on the front row of a church and I didn't have any pew to knuckle onto, but if I could, I would have, because I knew I wasn't saved and I didn't go forward. And I'm thankful for the day that God arrested my heart and I got saved. But you know what, folks? Someone had to get me to the gospel first. Number four, I was taught to go to church. I was taught to go to church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, the Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Where are you going to hear the preaching of the scripture? Where are you going to hear the expounding of God's word? It's at your local church. And you know what, folks? I was taught to go to church. I heard one preacher say it like this. He said, "I've been going to church since 9 months before I was born." I heard another preacher say, I was drugged as a kid. My mom and dad drugged me to church and they drugged me back. But you know what? I was taught that from a child. And you say, "Well, I wasn't taught it from a child." All right. Well, you're here now. So why don't you just decide to make church a key part in your life? Why don't you just decide, "I'm just going to be in church every time the doors are open. It doesn't matter what's going on else. I'm going to make plans. I'm going to move things around so I can be in church." Because that's important. Number five. I'll get a drink before number five, all right? Number five's good. I got saved. I got saved. You don't have to have an amazing testimony to stay excited about your salvation. All right? You know what? Honestly, I used to think that, okay? And young people, this is a silly thought. You probably never had this thought in your life. And if you have it, good. But you know what? I used to sit in church and be like, "Man, you know what would be cool?" As a teenager, all right, teenage guys are weird, okay? We think differently, okay? And I was like, "You know what would be cool if I went out and did some really bad things and then I got miraculously saved and so I could use my testimony to win other people to Jesus?" And you know, that's a really dumb thought, honestly. But, you know, sometimes I thought that, and I'm like, "Man, I would," because you'd hear a preacher preaching. He'd be like, "Man, I got saved out of this and this and this and this and this." And I'm like, "Wow, I wish I had a testimony like him." Young people, listen, you don't have to have a testimony like that to be excited about salvation. Listen, I'm excited. I'm actually more excited now about my salvation than when I got saved, because now that I'm a little older, I realize exactly what happened in my life. And I realize exactly how miraculous that is. Actually, I think it's pretty amazing that I was chosen to be a third generation Christian. You realize how rare that is? But you know what? Listen, I got saved. That's the most important thing. Listen, you want all things to work together for your good. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, you better get that nailed down. Because nothing else can work for your good unless you found the Savior. Number six, church and serving God were encouraging and exciting. Church and serving God were encouraging and exciting. Psalm 122, verse number 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How do we portray church sometimes? Do we say, oh, well, I just got back from Princeton at 5 o'clock, kids. Oh, we have to go to church now. It's all, we just have to do it. It's the right thing to do. I don't want to ever portray that attitude. I want to be excited about church. I want to go in. And by the way, you're not going to be excited about church unless church is alive. And I'm thankful that we have a church that's alive, folks. When you go to church, it's not a sentence. I just soak it up. Because I'm excited to be in the house of God. I've been to Yankee Stadium. I've sat there and I've watched the thousands of people pre-pandemic, you know, when we actually went to baseball games and things like that. And I sat there in Yankee Stadium way up top, huge, massive, sprawling stadium. I've sat on the 52nd floor of a skyscraper in Boston, eating at a restaurant, overlooking the town. I've got to do a lot of neat things in my life. But you know what? There's never been a place that I love more than the house of God. There's something special about church. There's something special about church to me, and I hope it's special to you. Mom and Dad, how do you portray church to your children? Is it a chore? Is it a task? Is it something we just do to make the preacher happy? Or is it somewhere that's exciting, somewhere that's encouraging and uplifting, and you can truly say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Number seven, something that helped James Young get into the ministry. All things working together for my good. My parents helped me decide my friends. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what? It was important. Parents, it's important, okay? It's important. I have some great friends, but you know what? I have some friends that I had to choose to forsake. And honestly, if you could see where they're at now, I'm glad that I forsook them. But you know what? It wasn't always my choice, because I wouldn't have always forsaken them, okay? I don't know if you know this about 13-year-old boys, but they don't have a lot of discernment, okay? For that matter, it doesn't get much better when you're 20, but or 25 or 27. But anyway, but you know what? Listen. We gotta just, sometimes young people, listen. Hey, listen, teenagers. If your mom or dad says stay away from that person, just stay away from that person. Listen, they're not trying to ruin your life, I promise you, okay? They're not trying to make sure you have zero friends. All right? But just stay away from them. It's really not that bad. And honestly, I think it'll benefit you in the long run. You know what? Number eight, my dad taught me to work. My dad taught me to work at a young age. My preacher always talked about growing up. He said, one day my dad got a bunch of strawberry plants and he had this plant, all these strawberries. And you know, when I was a teenager, I was like, why does my dad want to grow strawberries? Why does he want to raise strawberries? And he goes, now that I'm adult, I realize he didn't want to raise strawberries. He wanted to raise boys. And you know what? My dad had a lawn mowing business, and I'm sure it helped make a little bit of money on the side. But honestly, now that I look back at it, I don't really think my dad had a lawn mowing business because he wanted to work a little extra. I think he had a lawn mowing business because he wanted to raise boys. And you know what? Listen, teenagers, young people, you learn to work, all right? And dads, listen, teach your kids to work, all right? It's important. It'll help them with their life. Number nine, my dad was not afraid to let other godly men influence me, and he encouraged it. You know, I love my kids. I love my boys. But I'm honestly not afraid to, and they're very young right now. But I hope I never get to the point where I'm afraid that I'm the only one that can influence them. Where I'm the only, you know, okay, well, you know what? The preacher's good, but you know what? I'm selfish, all right? I don't want to ever be like that. And you know what? I'm glad my dad, because you know what? My dad's my hero. He is. I love my dad. Probably I owe more to my dad than I do to anybody else. I'm just going to be honest with you. But you know what? There were some times in my life, some key moments in my life where I needed another godly man to influence me, or else I wouldn't be standing here today. I'm thankful for a godly layman. I won't say his name, but I'm thankful for a godly layman that came and picked me and my brother up every Saturday and took us out bus visiting and taught us how to work a bus route and taught us how to soul win and just kind of loved us. And my dad knew about him, and my dad okayed it, and that was the reason we were able to go out with him. But I'm thankful for a man that invested in me and taught me some things that I needed. And I'm thankful for some other staff members and some other Sunday school teachers that had a key moment, a key area where they really helped James Young. Because you know what? I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for some of those things that they helped me with. You know what, parents? Listen, don't be afraid to push your kids to the preacher. Don't be afraid to let them influence your children. Don't be afraid to let the assistant pastors and the Sunday. Don't be afraid to let them influence your kids. You know what? You say, I want them to be like me. Okay, well, that's great and all. But you know what? Your kids need a lot of godly influences in their life. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6 says that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And you know what? I think maybe that needs to be applied. You know what? Listen. I heard lots of preaching. Number 10, I heard lots of preaching. You know what? I've only heard a handful of life-altering messages, but every message has life-applicable truths. I wonder how many things that I could have learned in a message that I missed. You say, well, I wasn't here on Sunday night. All right, well, go back and listen to it. All right, if there was some reason you couldn't be here, you know, go back and listen to it. If you say, if there was a legitimate reason I wasn't in church, listen to the message, because you never know what you're missing if you miss a message. You say, Brother Young, how many messages have you heard in your life? I have. I was trying to count it up the other day, and I lost count after somewhere around 10,000 messages that I've heard in my life. And so I just put 10,000 plus down in my notes, okay? But you know what? Listen, part of all things working together for my good is there are some messages that they never changed my life, but I got one truth out of them that helped me. And so that's just plugged it into the all things working together for your good. Folks, listen, you say, well, you know what? What about something on Thursday night? Listen, if you're having a revival, you never know when that could be the life-changing message that could make a difference in your life. We just need to decide we're just going to do it. Number 11, I was encouraged to serve God. Number 12, sports were never put in an elevated status. I know that's not a problem with this church, okay? But you know what? Whoever wins is not important. I've heard that as a statement. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, okay? All right, I just want to say that. But you know what? Listen, it's not about winning or losing. Sports really aren't that valuable, but I think they teach valuable lessons, but they're not worth losing your integrity or your testimony over. And you know what? I know a lot of guys that they can talk sports, but they have a hard time talking about Jesus Christ. And even in good fundamental Baptist churches, and it's really easy for them to talk about their favorite team, but it's hard for them to talk about Christ. And you know what? Listen, don't put them in an elevated status. I'm going to tell you a story in my life, and I love playing sports. I do. I love playing basketball. I'm not good at it. That's why I love it, okay? All right? I know I'm terrible, okay? I know I'm horrible at it, but I love it. I love to play. And so I was on the sports team at my Christian school, and I was getting ready to go into my 10th grade year, and I was excited about it because some of the older guys had left, you know? And I was like, man, this is going to be my year. I'm going to earn a position. I'm going to start, okay? All right? I'm going to be something important. And before the sports season started, my dad pulled me aside and my brother aside, and he said, guys, you're not playing sports this year. And my first thought was, what in the world did I do wrong? Or what did he find out about? I said, Dad, why am I not playing sports? And my dad said, and he's just very honest, he said, there's some boys on that team that I don't like. And they're older, and I'm not going to let them influence you. And you know what he was doing? He was putting it in its proper place. I'm thankful that he had that character and integrity enough to realize that playing a stupid ball game wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth losing a boy over. And by the way, I still love to play sports. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But folks, listen, we got to put amusement, recreation, whatever you like, okay, that's recreation, whether it's sports or fishing, hunting, whatever it is, put it in its proper place, okay? It's never more important than serving God. It's never more important than your integrity. You know what? Listen, number 13, my parents never criticized the pastor or other spiritual leaders. You know what? You say, Brother Young, your dad worked on a large church staff. Yes, he did. There was a lot of staff members at that church. Brother Fugit has many, many members on staff. And I guarantee you there was some time in his life where he had a problem with one of them, okay? It's just human nature. People are people, right? But you know what? I never heard my dad criticize another leader. I can't think of a single time. That's pretty amazing. Hey, parents, I wonder how you portray some of the spiritual. You say, well, I don't talk bad about the pastor, okay, but what about the Sunday school teacher? What about that person that runs the other bus route across the town? And you say, oh, well, the only reason they get more kids than me is because we can't be guilty of doing stuff like that. Hey, listen, number 14, I was taught to win souls. I was taught to win souls. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. You want to raise wise young people? Win souls. Young dads, you want to be wise? Win souls. Young moms, you want to be wise? Win souls. Grandma and grandpa, you want wisdom? Win souls. You say, Brother Young, how does winning souls give you wisdom? I don't know. The honest truth is it just happens because God promises it in His Word. And when you are a winner of souls, God gives you wisdom that only winning souls can give. And if you don't win souls, you don't know what I'm talking about. Folks, let me just challenge you. Win souls. Win souls. You say, Brother Young, it's not about seeing people saved. Well, listen, you ought to see somebody saved in your lifetime, Christian. I'm just going to be honest with you. You ought to see somebody, all right? You say, well, I can't do it. Well, just keep trying until you do. And keep asking God until you do. When I worked in Lima, Ohio, there'd be some stretches and periods of time where I'd say, God, I haven't won anybody to you in a while. And I would get alone with God and I'd just walk up to the front of my church and I'd get on the altar and I'd say, God, I'm going to go soul winning this week. I haven't led somebody to you in a while. I would just really like to see someone saved. And you know what? Oftentimes God would let me. But you know what, folks? Listen, you say, well, it's not about seeing them saved. I know it's not. I know we just go because it's right to do, okay? But you know what? You ought to want to win souls. If we're fishing, we want to catch fish, all right? We don't just fish for fun. Well, some people do. All right, anyway. Brother Chad already covered that earlier in a message this year. So, but you know what? Listen. I don't want to fish just for fun. I want to fish to win souls, amen? I don't want to just knock on doors because it's enjoyable, all right? It's not, okay? Let's just be real. It's honest. But you know what? After a few doors, it does get fun. I'm like, man, this is exciting. I got to go out with my wife yesterday and go soul winning because my mom's in town and she was watching our kids. And so me and my wife got to go out alone and go soul winning. And that was awesome. I loved it. We had a great time. But you know what? Brother Nathan Walton sent us to the middle of nowhere. All right. And we nearly died. And it was great. There's this big old muddy thing on the road. And my Buick is just like literally sliding. And there's so much water on that road. I mean, I was like, if I stop, I'm going to get stuck here in the middle of nowhere. It was great. I love it. But you know what? I wouldn't like getting stuck, that's for sure. But you know what? I was taught to win souls. Hey, number 15. I was not raised by electronics, even in the rise of technology. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 36 says that we will give an account of every idle word we speak. Hey, young people, you say, well, my mom and dad let me play on video games, all right? I'm not going to stand here and say I never played a video game before, all right? But you know what? Listen, why do we waste so much time on stuff like that? You know what bothers me more? One of my pet peeves is going into a restaurant and looking over across the table and there's a mom and dad on one side on their phones and there's two kids on the other side on their phones. Parents, that's a bad way to raise kids. You know what? I know my boys are rambunctious sometimes, but I'm never going to stick them in front of a phone and shove them in a corner and say, be quiet so I can go do what I want to do. And if you do that, let me just challenge you, don't. Okay, all right. Amen. All right. Number 16, I had good friends. I had good friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Well, my best friend, he's down in Texas serving the Lord as an assistant pastor. My other good friend of all my life, he just planted a church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and the Lord is doing amazing things there. I'm thankful for good friends. You know what? Listen, adults, you need good friends too, by the way. All right, sometimes we think these things are just for teenagers. But a lot of adults get out of church because of wrong friends too. Because they get around the scorner. They get around the backbiter or the gossip. You know, the busybody. And before they know it, they're out of church because of an adult friend that they had. But teenagers, you need to choose good friends. Part of that is what you let your mom and dad do, but you need to make some decisions that, listen, because you know what? You know some things about teenagers that your mom and dad don't. Because you know some of the things that they say to you. And your conscience is telling you you shouldn't be their friend. And your mom and dad have no idea. You know what? Listen, just make right choices. Choose good friends. Number 17, I was taught to appreciate things because I had earned them. I was taught to appreciate things because I had earned them. Listen, this entitlement mentality, and I don't think that's prevalent in our church. I'm not trying to fix any problems tonight. I'm just telling you things that I think helped get James Young into the ministry. And you know what? I was taught to appreciate things because I worked for them. I had to sacrifice. Listen, parents, encourage your children to sacrifice. I'm not saying encourage them to go crazy or whatever. But teach them the meaning of sacrifice. Teaching the meaning of what it means to work for something and earn it and take care of it and just value it. Number 18, there were people who didn't see me for who I was, but who I could be. I love that truth. I'm not going to preach it. Our pastor preached on it not too long ago. If you want to go back on it, listen to the sermon, all right? He preached on Moses and Moses' parents. But you know what? There are people who didn't see me for who I was, but for who I could be. Number 19, I surrendered to do whatever God wanted. I surrendered to do whatever God wanted. I shared this story in church this morning. There was a young man. I heard a story of a young man. I don't know whether it's a true story or just an illustration, but he was so tired of he wanted to do something for God. And so he wrote a bunch of things down on a piece of paper that he would do for God and said, God, I'll go here. God, I'll do this. God, I'll do this. And he went up and he laid it on the altar after church and he started to pray over it. And then when he walked away, he had no peace. And so the next Sunday he came back, he had two pieces of paper and it was filled with everything he would do for God. And he prayed over them and he still had no peace. And he went to his preacher and he said, preacher, these are all the things that I want to do for God. Why don't I not have peace? And his preacher said, I'll tell you what you do. Go home, get a blank piece of paper, put your name on the bottom of it and lay that on the altar. And he said, until you do that, you're never going to have the peace that you're doing what God wants you to do. Let me just ask you folks, when's the last time you just said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do? You say, but I've been in church for 10 years, Brother Young. I know. When's the last time you said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do? Whatever you want me to surrender to. Listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that's a one-time deal. Every year, I don't know how many times a year, I try to just say, God, if I'm not doing what you want me to do, please show me. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Number 20, my parents always encouraged and never discouraged full-time ministry. I'm not going to re-preach that one. Number 21, my parents never required it either. All right, we got a huge problem, I think, sometimes with mama called and papa sent preachers. Or, as Pastor Ross said a couple years ago in a message I heard, he said, we got a big problem with preacher called and youth pastor sent preachers too. Listen, young people, if God's not calling you into full-time ministry and that's not on your heart, okay, don't try to do it because you're going to fail. But why not just be surrendered if God wants you to? That's the big thing. There's no shame in being a godly layman in a church. There's no shame in that at all if that's what God wants you to do. I'm just saying, parents, don't discourage it, full-time ministry, but don't require it either. Because if God's not calling them, they're going to fail. Number 22, I followed their advice and I went to Bible college. Number 23, at some point I had to decide this was real to me. And I know what time it is. We're almost done. At some time, I had to decide this was real to me. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. At some point, I don't care what age you are, you're going to have to decide that living for God is real for you. Because if it's not, it won't last. And by the way, that means I had to get rid of some things. I'm going to tell you just real quick, James Young, I was raised in church. I knew all the right things to say. I knew how to dress. I knew how to act. I knew how to walk. I knew all the things that I should do, okay? But my heart was about as far away from God as you could get at some point in my life. I'll be honest with you. 17, 18, 19-year-old James Young was just going through the motions. By the way, I was in Bible college, okay, studying to be a preacher. And I was just going through the motions. And you want to know the reason I was? It's because I didn't want to let my mom and dad down. But in my heart, I didn't want to do it either. I was struggling with some things. I was struggling with some sins in my life. All right, I was struggling with some wrong music and watching some wrong things and misusing the cell phone. All right, I know I'm being very transparent right now. But you know what? I remember a time in my life where I sat there and I just couldn't take it any longer. And I parked in my car with my dad and I told him something that I did. And I just got so fed up with living a double life. I was on my bus route. I was in my Nissan Titan pickup truck. It was a black truck. It was nice before my sister destroyed it. It was a great truck, wasn't it, Roger? Yeah, we owned it together. But you know what? I was on the bus route, and I had an iPod, and I knew there were some things on there that shouldn't be on there, and I threw it out in the middle of the road, and I put my truck in drive, and I drove over it. And I put it in reverse, and I drove back over it. And I put it in drive, and I drove back over it. And then I littered, okay? Don't do that, okay? I left it there. But then I went back into my driveway, and I talked to my dad, and I sat there, and I wept, and I said, "Dad, I cannot do it anymore. I'm just starting to date a young lady. I'm really interested in her, and it's wrong for me to live one way in front of her and in front of you, and then to live one way when I'm by myself." And I had to make a decision to say, "You know what? I have decided to follow Jesus, and I don't really care what's on this. I don't really care what I have to forsake. I've got to get it out of my life." And if you never get to that point, you're never going to do anything for Jesus Christ. Never. It wasn't easy, but I'm glad that I did it. I had to get rid of some things. Number 25, I waited. I stayed in the castle for a good thing. Proverbs 18, 22, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing." I couldn't fulfill God's will for my life without my wife. Number 26, I needed a humbling experience. I graduated Bible college. I was on fire for God. I was going to go change the world for God. All right, in my mind. And God knew what I needed. And God put me through something. I don't have time to go through all of it. But by the end of it, okay, I went into full-time ministry. I got lied to. I moved back 8 months later into my parents' basement with my new bride, expecting our first child. And after I paid moving expenses, I had $40 in my pocket. You want to be humble? Have nothing. Listen, you don't have to get there. Don't let God have to break you. But God needed to get a hold of me. I'm thankful for a godly wife that stuck by me through it, by the way. You know what? The first Sunday night I was back in church, an elderly lady came up to me and she said, "What are you doing back here?" And I said, "Well, we just moved back." And I didn't tell her all the stuff going on or whatever. There was no need for her to know. And she shook my hand and she said, "Everything's going to be all right." And when I opened my hand, there was $60 in it. And you know what? God just does those things for you sometimes, folks. Listen, I needed a humbling experience. Number 28, I saw God take care of dark hours. This goes along with number 29. I had a godly wife who stuck by me in those dark hours. You know what? What we've gone through with Julia is just an amazing testimony to God's grace. And I don't have, I'm cutting it short, I know, because I got to end. But folks, listen. You don't know how many times there were times where I just sat there and I was just overwhelmed at God's grace. Overwhelmed at how good God was to me through all of that. That he would give me that daughter. There's a lot of people who can't even have kids. There's a lot of people who go to Riley Children's Hospital. They don't walk out with a child. And you know what? Just for God to do that. And then 3 days before my daughter to come home, to open a letter from a little girl in our church. It says, "Dear Julia, I love you. I prayed for your family. I hope she gets out of the hospital soon. Thank you for the sticky man. All right? That's just, she's the only one that knows what that's about. I like it. I'm thankful for your family, and I hope you have a white Christmas. I love you. You are the best family. You are special to me. From Adeline Todd. Adeline Walton. You know what, folks? I think I cried more over this letter than I did anything else. All the money, all the prayers. And I'm not trying to embarrass her. But you know what? Isn't God good? I think this was just the cherry on top. And I don't know how long I sat there and cried after I opened this letter. It was a long time. And I'm not a crier. Well, I say that, and here I am. But I get it from my dad, okay? It's his fault. But you know what, folks? Listen, here's the last thing, and we'll be done. That was point number 30. I've seen God do the miraculous. And point number 30, the last thing, point number 31, all right? You got 31 points of a message tonight. The last thing, take your Bibles and go to Psalms 27, verse number 13. Psalms number 27, verse number 13. I don't need to go there, but I can quote it. It's my life verse. Psalms 27, verse number 13. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hey, folks, what's the point of life if we're not believing to see? What does it matter what has happened in your life if there's nothing in the future? You say, Brother Young, I want all things to work together for my good. Okay, for what good? What are you going to do with that life? All the things that you're putting into place, they don't matter if you're not living for tomorrow. Listen, folks, I don't want to live looking back at what God has done. I want to use those things and put things into my life so that I can do what God wants me to do next. And you know what, folks, in your life, look back and say, okay, these are the things that have worked together for my good, and now what else can I put in place that God can use for my good? Because I want to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Everything in your life doesn't happen for you to simply look back on it, but instead to look forward to the things God is going to do. I'm excited for Jasper. I'm excited for what the Lord's going to do. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it, not because I'm qualified, but because I know that as I look back over my life, I see all the things that God has brought together to bring me to this point, and I know that I love God, and I know that I want to do right, and I want to believe that God is going to do something because He's taken all of these things and He's worked them together for my good. Folks, I've just decided I'm going to keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I'll just keep trusting my Lord and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I'll just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Let me challenge you. Look back over your life and see what God's worked together for your good. And then look and see what you can put into your life to work things together for your good. Because you're gonna reap what you sow. And then the last thing is, why don't you just believe to see? Why don't you just believe to see? Lord, I love you. God, I love you. And God, I am so unworthy to stand here and preach this. And Lord, I don't want anyone to think that anything I've said is about James Young. Because there's nothing special about me, Lord. But God, I long for you to use my life and all the things that you've worked together so far. Please use them for your good. Lord, help the person who's going through a trial right now. Help them just to say, God, I don't know what I'm going through. But I'll trust in you. And Lord, help us not to just look at things in our past and say, oh, I remember those days. Help us to look forward to the future of what God's going to do in our life. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for saving me. In your precious name, amen.